Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth doth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, Ethiopians, who hath had charge of all the treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment, was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azas, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
I've titled the message, The Two P's of Baptism. I'll try to move quickly, since we are planning to baptize two people this morning. Those two P's do not refer to the two people, but to the two points of the message, prerequisite and purpose. What is the prerequisite for baptism, and what is the purpose of baptism? Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would direct us in this time, give us understanding of your word. Father, I pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece for this time. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who guides us into the truth of your word. We ask for grace and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Our main text will be the portion that was just read to us, Acts 8, beginning verse 25. Number one, the prerequisite for baptism. Speaking of blue books and college, a prerequisite, something that is required beforehand. What is required prior to baptism? Prerequisite. Philip, here, one of the main characters in this passage, was a deacon. And he had been evangelizing in the area of Samaria. He'd been preaching the gospel. Multitudes were being converted. But there was a religious man in the south desert, south of Jerusalem. He had traveled over 200 miles to worship in the temple at Jerusalem. This man was a eunuch from Ethiopia, which is south of Egypt, an officer under the queen who had great authority, and he was the chief of the queen's treasury. So he'd be like secretary of the treasury, minister of finance. And as such, he would have had a lot of people in his caravan. It was not he and perhaps a driver and one chariot. Think of when the Secretary of State of the U.S. travels anywhere. They rarely travel alone. And similar situation. He was traveling with a caravan. And this eunuch represents many people today who are religious, who read the Bible, who seek the truth, and who even attend church, sometimes at great expense. Yet, they do not have saving faith in Jesus Christ. They are sincere, like this eunuch was, yet they're lost. They don't know the Lord. They need to understand the gospel. They need someone to show them the way. And the Lord, through an angel, instructs Philip to leave the great crowds in Samaria, up in the northern part of the Palestine, and to travel into a desert. There, Gaza, close to the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Gaza was one of the five major Philistine cities. And he's traveling from Jerusalem. Let's see if I can go backwards. Jerusalem. He's traveling around, go through Egypt, and then down into Ethiopia. And as Philip gets near to the chariot, he hears the eunuch reading from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Okay? The prophecy of God's suffering servant, made 710 years before Christ was born. And at that time it was customary, when you read, to read out loud, particularly someone who he would have considered himself as a student. Right? Students would read out loud, and he hears him. And Philip asks him if he understands what he's reading. And the eunuch acknowledged, "No, I don't. I need help." Look in verse 32. The place of the scriptures where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment, or his justice, was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Then he asks, of whom is the prophet speaking? Of himself or of some other person? Which was a very appropriate question. Common question. Because even the Jewish experts, the experts in the Old Testament, they were divided into three positions. One was they were speaking of the nation of Israel as a whole. A second position was it was speaking of, Isaiah was speaking of himself. And the third position was they were speaking of the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. And we have the blessed privilege to have the New Testament, which this this eunuch did not have. And so we can see how all the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And Philip, though he didn't have the New Testament, he did have that knowledge because he lived after Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And he instructs the eunuch, says he preached unto him at that from that same point, and he preached unto him Jesus. He told him, this is who the passage is speaking of. And this is how Jesus fits into the picture. And he tells him of Jesus. And as he preaches Jesus to the eunuch, the Spirit of God opens his mind to understand the gospel. Jesus was the Lamb of God who died in the place of the sinner. As all the blood sacrifices of Israel typified, as the eunuch who have just came from the temple, you know, that day or shortly before that, would have witnessed. He would have witnessed sacrifices. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. All those sacrifices that Egypt, or that Israel, if I said Egypt before, I meant Israel, okay? All those sacrifices that the Israelites had sacrificed were a picture of one person, Christ. And Jesus was the willing substitute for you. God, at the beginning of human history, killed animals that he might clothe Adam and Eve and cover up their nakedness, which was a sign of their guilt. Later, God provided a ram in the place of Isaac to die in his place. At the Passover, year after year after it was instituted, innocent lambs died for the people, and every single one of Israel's sacrifices were based on the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And the eunuch believes on Jesus and was born again. He came to understand that he had broken God's commandment and was thus a sinner, condemned, hopeless, and helpless. But he also understood that Jesus, though he was sinless, died in his place, died as if he had committed the eunuch's sin. And now, anyone who trusts in Christ can be saved, can be forgiven. Somehow, after that, the eunuch understood that he was supposed to be baptized. He insisted on the caravan stopping by some water so that he could get baptized. Recall, he had great authority. He had a large caravan. And he asked the question in verse 36, "Look, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" Right? What is the prerequisite for baptism? And Philip answered, "Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one that the Old Testament prophecies spoke of, the one who would be innocent of sin and yet die in the sinner's place." Do you know Jesus in that way? Are you trusting in his death, his burial, and his resurrection as your only means of being accepted by God, as your only means of going to heaven with God the Father for eternity? The prerequisite for baptism is to be saved, to be born again, to be trusting in Christ as your Savior. The first P. Excuse me. And the second, what's the purpose of baptism? The prerequisite, faith in Christ. The purpose, what does it show? Is it something that's required to spend an eternity in heaven with God? No. The purpose is to show what has already been accomplished. Not to accomplish anything other than simple obedience. It's an identification. One pastor said, it's like a badge, a name tag that shows to whom you belong. It is publicly declaring that you believe in Jesus as your Savior. It is publicly confessing Christ as your Lord. You're telling others that you are saved. Not that you are going to get saved by baptism, but that you already are. And now that I'm saved, I'm getting baptized. Remember, the eunuch with his large caravan, as a greatly important official, he had servants who would be listening very attentively to him. And you can be sure that they were. So when he was having this conversation with Philip, we're not told all of it, but they were listening to Philip as well. And then he stops the train, so to speak, and he gets out. And they go down into the whatever the water was, a pool, a lake, or maybe even the Mediterranean, maybe a river. We're not told. But as a public witness of who Jesus is and that he himself was believing in him as Savior, he asked to be baptized, and Philip baptizes him. And we're going to do that this morning. Don't expect me, though, to be caught away of the Spirit and to land in another city. Okay? So the order as far as what comes first is belief and then baptism. The order is trusting Christ, then publicly confessing him, publicly testifying to your faith by baptism. Once you are saved, you do need to be baptized. Why? Because that's what Jesus commanded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. Okay? In Acts 8, the same chapter, verse 12. If you'll turn there, turn back a page, Acts 8, verse 12. One of the passages that I'll read three more. It gives the purpose and the prerequisite for baptism. Here, chapter 8, verse 12, Philip is preaching, as I mentioned, up in Samaria, northern part of Israel. And folks are being saved. Look what he says in verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The order, belief, then baptism. In Acts 10, if you'd like to turn there, 10 verse 47 and 48, here someone else is preaching. Peter, he goes to a man named Cornelius. Cornelius is a very good man. He's a very moral man. He's a very righteous man. He gives alms. He prays every day. But he's lost. He does not know Christ as his Savior. And Peter goes to him and he preaches. And not just Cornelius, but his whole household believes. In chapter 10 of Acts, verse 47, Peter asks, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They trusted Christ, then they were baptized. And in Acts 18, turn back to Acts 18, verse 8. Here we have a different preacher, Paul. Paul's preaching, and some folks in the city of Corinth have gotten saved. They have believed. Acts 18, verse 8. Acts 18, verse 8. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." So Crispus and his house and many other of the people of Corinth, hearing the gospel, believed it, and then were baptized. So whether it's Philip, whether it's Peter, whether it's Paul, three P's. Three P's plus two P's equals, right? Yeah, five. Okay, but that's a different topic. That's my alter ego, sorry. Whether it's Philip or Peter or Paul, the two P's for baptism, the prerequisite and the purpose are the same. Because it's God who ordained it. It's God who put it in place. First, trust Christ as Savior. Then, show others by being baptized in water. And that's what we're going, Lord willing, to do now. So if Gannett and Dustin come forward and get changed, Dustin over here and Gannett over here for baptism. If you have any questions about these matters, I'd love to talk to you. And if Dean would come forward now to lead us in a song while we get ready.
This is Gannett Loftus. He asked me on Tuesday if he could also be baptized, and I'm going to let him tell you why he wants to be baptized.
Many of you already know me, and yes, I have been in here before, but I was not saved when that happened. So, over this past summer, I was kind of questioning whether or not I've been saved, and then I went, and one of my other good friends, Justin Wilkerson, was baptized just at the end of the semester, and I was like, just by hearing his testimony, I really began to question again whether or not I was saved, and over this semester, I was led to the conclusion that I wasn't, and that my belief up to that point had been completely from an intellectual and not a faith standpoint, and you come to grace by faith and not through your own intelligence. And so then the third week of school, in the middle of October, I got saved at college. So
right now, Gannett, you are trusting in Christ as your Savior and Him alone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then you face this way. Step forward a little more. In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in Him as your Savior, I baptize you, Gannett Loftus, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Dustin Larson, and he asked a while back if he could be baptized, and I'd like to ask him similar questions. Dustin, why do you want to be baptized?
I think it's the next one of the next steps to showing my trust in Christ.
Are you trusting Jesus as your Savior?
I am.
If you turn this way. Cross your hands. In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and upon your confession of Him as your Savior, I baptize you, Dustin Larson, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a great thing whenever anyone wants to publicly testify that Jesus Christ has saved them and they're trusting Him.